you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Today on Quick... This is not Tom Karn. This is actually Jason Levine, the producer of Quick Slants, the podcast. Tom... I was not able to tape and open this week, so let me tell you what's going on in this episode, which is a good one. First, we have Tom talking with NFL Red Zone's Scott Hansen. Great conversation about how he's got his start, playing as a walk-on at Syracuse University, and being in everybody's home on Sundays. Also in this episode, Mike Giardi of CSN talks with Matt Light. Matt is obviously a great storyteller, working with his Light Foundation. So some good stuff there. But first, as we promised, let's get to Tom's interview with Scott Hansen.
When you think about it, if somebody is going to spend every Sunday with you, over the course of an entire season, from September into January, you better like him. Scott Hansen spends all that time with you every Sunday on Red Zone. You'll love him because he's into it. His energy never lags, nor does his knowledge. So let's go double box right now and bring in my buddy Scott Hansen from the Red Zone. Scott, obviously, host of the NFL Red Zone channel. You can follow him on Twitter, at Scott Hansen, and he's going to be on when with a preseason edition, Scott?
We're hitting it Saturday. Tom Curran, as I live and breathe. It's been a minute since we've been together on the airwaves here, but good to be with you, man.
Great to have good you on. And you know what? I want to go way back, because people know you as a guy that they love to spend their time with and get their information from.
Yeah.
But I don't know if everybody knows where you came from. You're a kid who grew up in Michigan, and you played this sport growing up all the way through high school, correct?
Yeah, all the way through college, as a matter of fact. Yeah, so born and raised in Michigan, Rochester, Michigan, about 45 minutes outside of Detroit. Grew up loving football. My dad and my relationship, for better or for worse, was built around the game of football. That's mm-hmm. what we, you know, I'm sure everyone listening here, or most people listening right now, can have some touchstone to that. You know, their relationship with someone key in their life that was a formative figure, and no one more so than my dad. Mm-hmm. We used to, that our conversations were built around sports, particularly football. I grew to love the sport there. We used to go to the Michigan Wolverines games, Detroit Lions games, and I just grew up loving it. And when I knew I couldn't be a professional football player, which was about early high school when I had to accept that reality, I was like, I wonder if someone would pay me to talk about it, because those guys on TV and on the radio sound like they're having a heck of a lot of fun talking about the game.
What position did you play?
Well, so I kind of had a funny story. In high school, I was a decent player in high school, you mm-hmm. know, all conference and captain of the football team and blah, 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 all of that. Mm-hmm. But I weighed about 235 at my heaviest. I was a big
kidding?
Boy. Right now, I go about 170 on a healthy day. But I weighed about 235 in high school, and I was a lineman. I was the center on my varsity team junior and senior year in high school. I could have gone probably to but 235 ain't going to get you a Division I scholarship. Mm-hmm. No way. Not even back in the day. So I cut weight and I decided that I really wanted to focus on sports casting. I chose Syracuse University as my college. And
as many people they have, do who as, like if, this if, business.
For those who know sports casting well, the list, it's like Harvard Law School in terms of the list of great sportscasters that have come out of Syracuse. So chose that, and I decided to walk on the football team. Now, I knew I wasn't going to be a lineman walking right on the football team at 235, so I cut weight, got down about 205, walked on. I was a long snapper, which was the skill that kind of hooked the coaching staff, I guess, to say, yeah, let's keep this kid around. And then I was a wide receiver and defensive back on the scout team.
Okay, hold on.
My 4 years there. Yeah, go ahead.
This is wild because what did you play? Defensive tackle, and probably played both ways. So you played defensive line, maybe, and an offensive line?
I was a lineman in high school. The entire time in high school, I was a lineman. And then
you had no clue how to do this. I mean, your body changed entirely. Were you always a good athlete, viewed as he's an athletic kid? He's a little bit big, but he's an athletic kid.
I could play basketball with just about anyone. In fact, basketball for a time was probably my better sport when I played on the football team at Syracuse in the spring and the summer when we didn't have practices. We used to run with my football teammates pick up basketball, but then we would play with some of the Syracuse athletes.
Right.
Back in the day, if you remember the name Lawrence Moten or these guys would come into the intramural gym. And I'd be the worst player on the court out of the 10 of us. But the other nine were guys that were all either D1 basketball players or could have gotten scholarships to play Division I basketball. But I ran pretty well, so I wasn't fast by any stretch of the imagination. But hand-eye coordination, instincts, body control. I would have to compensate with everything in me to even hang with those guys, either on a basketball court or certainly on the football field. But what really got me through, and maybe there's some listeners here can appreciate this, and hopefully it inspires them, is I never, Tom, went less than 100%. And if you have a 4.4 40-yard dash guy going 75% in practice, the coaching staff will tell you, give me a 4.9 who goes 100% all the time, and I want him to be working out my first stringers on the scout team because he's gonna go full speed. He's gonna give us the look that we need, and that's what I always prided myself on doing. And I was a scrub, so I wasn't gonna see the field on game day on Saturday at Syracuse. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, game I would day. Bite the ankles off of the starters, and the coaches loved it. The coaches loved it. They were like, "Give me Hansen. I know he'll go full speed in this drill." And I didn't mind that I was a Rudy punching bag without the glorified sack at the end of my career.
How much different did you feel at 205 as opposed to 235? And did you ever think to yourself when you were a bigger kid, I don't like being this big?
Yeah, I totally did. A lot of my weight was just fat weight. It was not good weight at 235, and getting down to 205. Certainly by the end of my time at Syracuse, I felt like, man, how much different could life have been if I really would have taken a different tack with my career early on in high school? You know, what if I would have played safety, at 195 or something? Like, where could I have been? But, I don't look back at it. I established great relationships, friendships. Syracuse has fallen on some hard times football wise, but back when I was playing there, which was even the pre-Donovan McNabb years, I predated McNabb by about 2 years or so, and 2 or 3 years, I want to say, we were a top 25 program. The entire time that I was there, went to four bowl games. Kirby Dardar, there's a good pull. Well, look at the listeners in the New England area will remember my coach, now the late Dick McPherson, God rest his soul, who just passed away recently. He was my coach for the first 2 years, and then Paul Pasqualoni was my coach for the junior and senior years.
So I loved
my time at Syracuse, and it was a great, great launching pad for my broadcasting career.
And was Don McPherson your quarterback then?
No, so I'm after Don McPherson. I'm before McNabb.
Okay.
My quarterback for most of my 4 years was a kid named Marvin Graves.
Yes, number five.
You remember Marvin?
Freeze option.
Man, Marv, he was something. Freeze option. And in fact, he wore number five and was one of the reasons that Donovan McNabb came to Syracuse and wanted to wear number five as well because of the way Marvin Graves played that position. Marvin didn't have quite the skill set to go to the NFL. He played in the CFL and had some great years in the CFL, but Marv was a fantastic player, unflappable on game day, unflappable. In fact, I want to say he He started in four bowl games and went 4-0 in the bowl games that, yeah, we played. And that's rare. That's rare that, that a quarterback
I remember
that
Fiesta Bowl game. I think that that was Marvin Graves. And it,
well, there was a Fiesta Bowl. We, that was my last game as a Syracuse football player, as a football player. January 1st, 1993 was we played in the Fiesta Bowl. Syracuse played in the Fiesta Bowl a few times. But if you're talking about mine, it was against the Colorado Buffaloes back when Colorado in the Bill McCartney years was loaded, loaded. Michael Westbrook at wide receiver, Rashawn Salaam at running back.
Ty Law back there in the corner. Ty Law's playing in Michigan. I'm thinking Ty Law because
Ty Law's a Michigan
covering
guy. You're thinking maybe of Dion Figures played in the
No,
in the
I just looped over because I remember that Colorado completed that Hail Mary over Ty Law, so I was trying to.
Nice. Yeah, that is true. Yeah, and it was Westbrook who got that ball, as a matter of fact. What was Coy Detmer, I think, was the starting quarterback when we beat them, but they had Cordell Stewart as a backup. They had they were just loaded. And we played them, beat them on January 1, 1993, my last game as a Syracuse football player and one of Marvin Graves' finest moments too. So,
You got to know Scott Pioli when you were at Syracuse.
Yes. So everyone in your audience knows Scott Pioli, of course, one of the architects of the first three Super Bowl championships for the Patriots. Scott Pioli was a graduate assistant coach. Now, for those of you who don't know what that is, that's basically the lowest form of coaching in college football. And I was a scrub. The lowest form of playing. So when Scott and I see each other, I just texted with him recently to going into this year, this NFL season. I saw him at the Super Bowl, of course, when Atlanta played the Patriots. We always joke, hey, we were at the lowest form of football together, and we have made our way in the NFL world, thankfully.
After you got out of Syracuse, you bumped around and did some of the smaller anchoring jobs, which must have been cool because you got to do your enthusiasm for sports in general and storytelling. You look at that level of reporting, it's so great because you're telling the stories for high school kids.
Yes.
You're telling the stories for adult athletes who aren't decorated. But eventually you joined the Comcast family.
Yep.
CSN Philly and then CSN Mid-Atlantic.
Great time.
You had great opportunities
career.
And great teams you could cover. You had the Bucks, the Eagles, the Ravens, really, right?
Well, it was not only covering, you know, the big four professional team sports, but it was, for me, it was making the jump from being the weekend sports anchor at the NBC, ABC, CBS affiliate in whatever market I had previously been in, okay? Mm-hmm. It was making the jump from a 3-minute sports cast that could get condensed to a minute and 45 seconds if weather went long, mm-hmm. you know, in an 11 o'clock newscast, to jumping to an all sports network where this is the headline, this is what we do, breaking news is now, you know, the trade and the whatever, you know, team or league or whatever, or this guy's injured, or here's the big game coming up. That was the story. So for a sportscaster, you want to be able to be thrust into the center of the most important thing going on. Mm-hmm. And you can only do that in an all sports network. So the Comcast Sportsnet family of networks, oh, I was thrilled mm-hmm. to go to Philadelphia, and then 2 years in Philly, 4 years at Comcast Sportsnet, Mid-Atlantic, D.C. and Baltimore. Absolutely thrilled to be immersed in an all-sports world.
And then you jumped to NFL Network.
That's when you and I met, if you remember.
Yes.
You and I met, not when I was the host of NFL Red Zone, which came a few years later, but you remember, well, you and I used to sit next to each other in the press box, whether it was in Foxborough or, you know, on the road, when obviously the Patriots being one mm-hmm. of the most high-profile teams, if not the most high-profile team in the last 15 years in the NFL, you had the either benefit or misfortune of being a guy sitting next to me in the press box when I'd be elbowing you. Hey, yeah, I know we're watching the Pats and the Jets here right now live, but did you hear what Adrian Peterson just did in Minnesota? Did you hear what, you know, whatever Peyton Manning is doing right now in Indianapolis? Because I would sit there with about 6-7 windows open up on my laptop trying to follow all the games. And this was when I was a roving reporter before those skills transitioned into Red Zone. So I guess I apologize for
No. You know what was great is because I'd say
a little peek into the window.
Well,
I guess.
Look, we'd go triple box And I will look at the field, and because, you know, you were a student of the game more so than me, because it dawned on me, and I have the exact same phrase that I use. Once I realized I wasn't going to play in the NFL, I wanted to figure out a way to cover it. That dawned on me probably about sixth grade, not high school. So I didn't have that same foundation of knowledge in the game. So I used to elbow Scott and say, what am I seeing out here? Did this just happen the way I think that it did? And he'd say, yeah, this did it. Because you played line, you know, all the things. It was just good confirmation. So we had really good football talk.
I appreciate that.
But when you were at NFL Network, when did Red Zone launch? And were you the maiden captain? I'm the captain.
Yes, on NFL Red Zone. Now, to clear up one of the top questions that we always get is, wait a minute. I heard the Red Zone channel on DirecTV. For those of you who have DirecTV and you have Sunday Ticket, you have access to the Red Zone channel. That is hosted by Andrew Siciliano, who does a great job, fellow Syracuse alum, by the way. But that is not NFL Red Zone. I host NFL Red Zone, which is on every platform in the country and really internationally besides DirecTV. In other words, if you have Comcast, Time Warner, Dish Network, Verizon Fios, AT&T UVerse, PlayStation View, on and on and on and on, any of the platforms that you can see it, that's NFL Red Zone. That's the one that's owned and operated by the league, and that's the one that I host.
Before I get the chronology right, I don't want to forget to ask you, how many eyeballs – you don't have to multiply by two. How many sets of eyeballs are on you on a given weekend, do you think? I mean, could it be more than 10 million?
Here's the funny thing. So NFL Red Zone, most of your audience is initiated, I'm sure. But for those who aren't, NFL Red Zone is a 7-hour show that covers every game in the league that's going on from 1 o'clock Eastern time all the way up to 8 o'clock Eastern time. So the 1 o'clock set of window of games, the 4 o'clock window of games. So usually traditionally anywhere from 12 to 14 games, give or take, we'll be covering. And we do it 7 hours with no commercials. We show every touchdown from every game, all the key moments of every game, every big hit, every big turnover, every controversial coaching move, everything, either live or seconds after it happened, okay? Mm-hmm. But the key phrase there, and I know you know this, Tom, and most of your audience does, the key phrase there is no commercials. Therefore, to answer your question, there are no Nielsen ratings. Nielsen ratings are only established to set the prices for how much does a Chevrolet commercial cost? How much does Gatorade pay if they're advertising a 30-second commercial in this program that has this many eyeballs? No commercials. Nielsen doesn't set out numbers for it. So those numbers, how many people watch NFL Red Zone, it is not publicly available.
I can't give you a number.
I know it's in the millions, but I can't give you an accurate number because I truly don't know.
All right. Well, here's a dumb question that maybe you. Yep. I'm going to ask it. How the hell do they monetize Red Zone if they know that it's going to outstrip every network, CBS or something like that?
Well, how do they monetize it? It is offered as a product to all of the NFL partners. So everyone who has done a deal with the NFL in terms of carrying NFL Network has the opportunity to get NFL Red Zone. So the NFL will give it to, let's just say, Comcast, okay? Comcast Cable. That's the dominant provider, I would think, that's listening to the podcast right now. Or one of them. But I'll just name them as one of the biggest television providers in the country. So Comcast can then take NFL Red Zone, and they can either make it an a la carte channel that they can charge, I don't know, whatever, $10, $14 a month. Or they can monetize it by putting it on a tier of sports channels, but it might also be whatever, the auto racing channel, the tennis channel, whatever channel. But NFL Red Zone is the driver of that tier, and then the customer can pay, I don't know, whatever, let's just say $14, I think maybe is an average, whatever it is a month to get access to that. And obviously there's profit sharing that goes on to there. So that's how it's monetized. Right. Not that we're selling toilet paper every 5 minutes in an NFL game by showing commercials.
Started in what year, Red Zone, your presence on it?
we're going into the ninth season. NFL Red Zone is going into the ninth season, and I am the original host of NFL Red Zone. Yeah.
I could keep asking you stupid stats, but you would probably have a number. All right, so how many hours have you spent? Has anyone ever done another Sunday other than you?
Well, no. I've been very blessed with good health and to never miss.
Knock on wood. I hope I didn't just curse you.
A missed plane or some type of a biological need. I have never missed. I never intend to miss. I have done it. I have done the show a couple times very sick, and I feel a little self-conscious about it because I'm always worried, does my voice sound nasally? Am I giving everything to the fans? Because, in my broadcasting career, I am well beyond saying, oh, I want to do this to become famous myself. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. My drive, my passion is truly, truly, Tom, about delivering the finest television product for the greatest sport on the planet. And if that sounds like somebody wrote that for me, ladies and gentlemen, it's not. I believe it. I believe it in my heart. And if you want to have an hour-long discussion as to why the NFL is the greatest form of competition with, from top to bottom, the greatest athletes in the world, I'm well prepared to have that talk.
We're going to do that later in the season.
Buy me a drink somewhere when we can sit down and talk about that. And I will go into that. But I'm telling you right now, for my money, it's the best on the planet. And I want to give the best and our staff on NFL Red Zone, which is the finest staff in sports television. Mm-hmm. I love the men and women with whom I get to work and do this incredibly challenging show technically. But our passion is to deliver the finest sports television program for the biggest sports and entertainment product in the country.
How big
is
that?
A lot of people tell us that we do. A lot of people tell us that we do.
Oh,
that
my
we
God,
have changed
it's incredible.
The way that they watch football.
But listen to that. I mean, whether it's Tom Brady giving testimonials during press conferences after his Deflategate, or whether it's my sons who, you know, I've bonded with over football and their ability to follow it because of fantasy, you know, you are a touchstone. My kids look at you and view you probably the way that I viewed guys like Dan Patrick or the local news anchors
that boggles my mind, Tom.
Yeah.
Seriously,
I mean,
that
you
really
are.
That it flatters me and it humbles me. And I mean that because I'm a student, not only of football, I'm a student of sports broadcasting. I mean, this has been my passion. You know what I'm saying? I mean, when I knew I wanted to do this, I said, where's the best school in the country? And I was blessed. My family was blessed financially, thankfully, to my mom and dad, how hard they worked that I could go to a school like Syracuse and walk on, not have a scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to learn everything about this business. And I remember what it was like to watch. I even go back to Howard Cosell doing halftime highlights of Monday Night Football. And that was the only way to get the 10,000 foot view of the NFL, the comprehensive look of the NFL. But you had to do it. It was a day after those moments happened. But it was must see TV to listen to that voice and that passion come out of that man at that time. It was like that was the moment that it was great. Well, that was the late 70s, early 80s. Well, mid 80s to late 80s, all the way into the 90s, it was NFL primetime. Boomer, Chris Berman, and the guys at ESPN doing that show. And it was the 10,000 foot view, comprehensive look at everything that happened in the NFL, must see TV. But that was hours after it happened. And now, hopefully, NFL Red Zone is the way to get everything that's going on in the NFL, as it happens. And in today's microwave society, that's what people demand, and that's what we try and deliver.
Has the popularity and emergence of fantasy football been an unforeseen driver that has made this even more successful? Because you'll have avid Patriots fans. I mean, the generation is changing to the point where I think if I wasn't covering the games, I would watch the channel and maybe even the commercials waiting for them to come back. Now my kids are going to kind of watch both 50-50. They're going to flick back between Red Zone and the Patriots game. I mean, fantasy has changed.
Football, absolutely a driver. One of the main drivers to the popularity of NFL Red Zone. I would say it dovetails with what I call the PTI-ification of the American sports fan. Mm-hmm. We all love being know-it-alls. Mm-hmm. Now, Tom, I know you're not in that crowd.
Oh, God, no. I know I'm willing to listen to hear anybody else.
we love being know-it-alls. Whether our circle is, in the accounting firm that we work at on Monday, or the doctor's office, or the bar stool with your friends, or, your family, whatever. We all love saying, well, who's the best quarterback in the league? Well, it's so-and-so because it's da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, who's the best coach in the NFL? Well, it's so-and-so because of da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, if you're going to have those arguments, and we all love having them, and we all love to one-up our siblings, our friends, our colleagues, our neighbors, if you're going to have that conversation, you had better come with some ammunition, right?
Especially these days.
Especially these days. So if you want to say you want to have a take on something, you better have seen what you're talking about. And you cannot see everything in the NFL, even if you have four TVs in your living room. You can't see everything in the NFL. If you turn your channel on NFL Red Zone and you show up to work on Monday and someone says, did you see the pass that so-and-so threw? Did you see the hit that guy delivered? Did you see the boneheaded coaching decision that this guy made? If that question is asked on Monday and you watched NFL Red Zone for 7 hours on Sunday, your answer is going to be yes. And so I think having that discussion that brings us together as Americans, following the biggest sport in the United States, that helps our popularity. And then everyone's playing fantasy against their friends, old college roommate, whoever it is. And you want to beat them and you want to see how you're beating them and when you're beating them. NFL Red Zone is the one-stop shop.
The funny thing is, and I know that you have opinions and I know that you're as passionate about this as anybody I've ever met, you don't get to voice them as much because you are the point guard, the host. You're Bob Barker for the NFL. I mean, you never get to really say who you think the greatest running back in the league is.
I mean, I try, and if I put any adjectives to something, I want to make sure the nouns back it up. Let me put it that way. So if I look at, I have no problem calling Tom Brady the GOAT, because I think that argument was settled in the first week of February. Mm-hmm. That argument I can't say for all time, because who knows what happens a decade from now. But for our time and for historically speaking, that argument is over. So if I call Tom Brady the GOAT, now that's still an opinion, but it's one that's so solidified that, okay, if you want to argue it, fine. You're going to be wrong, but you can argue it, okay? I would loathe to come out and say, Ezekiel Elliott, that's the best running back in football. I can say he was the rushing champ last year. I can say nobody had more yards than he did last year. I won't be saying that at this point for the first half of the season, just about.
But you never know. The courts can move in mysterious ways.
Yes, yes. But I don't try and say, oh, Odell Beckham or Julio Jones, that's the best wide receiver in the NFL, even if I might think it myself, because here's why. Like, it goes back to me serving the audience. Mm-hmm. If Odell Beckham scores an 80-yard touchdown against whoever, the Eagles, okay? Well, there are Eagles fans watching my show, just like there are Giants fans watching my show. And there are fantasy football fans who obviously their stake in the matter is to see Odell score that 80-yard touchdown, either because they have Eli, they have OBJ, or they're playing against Eli or OBJ in that game in fantasy. So I can enjoy that, and I can deliver it with a lot of passion and verve, but associating who's the best or making an argument on NFL Red Zone is something I really, really try and pump the brakes on because we're disseminating the information, not necessarily interpreting and promulgating something forward about the information.
Yeah, because what would end up happening, your information is constant and fluid. People can't be distracted by a statement that you make that slows down your ability to go to the
great
Bucks,
observation
Giants
great.
Game.
Wait, great observation.
What did you say? What did you just say about Mariota?
Yeah, and I every once in a while I'll do something and then it goes freaking viral because somebody, says, "Oh, Hanson, you're hating on my Browns," or something like that. And I'm like, "You know what? Believe it or not, I do not have a favorite NFL team. I told you I grew up in the Metro Detroit area. Mm-hmm. The Lions were my team growing up. I grew up 15 minutes away from the old Pontiac Silverdome. We had season tickets. I loved the Lions as a kid growing up. But I haven't lived in Detroit in 20 years. I have been around all 32 teams now. I got to know guys on individual teams who I am friends with. I would like to consider myself friends with them. So I'm rooting for them professionally. Mm-hmm. The Lions aren't my favorite team anymore. If they win the Super Bowl, I'll be as happy as anyone because I got a bunch of high school buddies that will party in the streets, right? But that's why I'll be happy, not because they're my favorite team. So anyone who might accuse me of saying you're biased towards this or towards that, they don't know my heart. Hopefully my broadcasting indicates my heart. Because I truly don't have any favorites either way. I root for drama, Tom. Mm-hmm. I root for drama. I root for storylines. I root for razor thin margin of error and competition because everybody can appreciate that as a sports fan.
We've talked a lot about football. I want to talk about you just a little bit with a couple rapid fire questions before I let you go.
Yeah. Go.
What was the most surprising place at which you were recognized and how frequently are you recognized?
I got caught off guard. It's going to resonate with your audience here. I got caught off guard at the Super Bowl. Now you would think Super Bowl, there's a ton of NFL fans. Obviously they're going to get recognized, and I get recognized more at the Super Bowl or the draft anywhere else because it's a consolidated NFL audience. However, I did what they call, I know this is rapid fire, so I'll try and make this fast.
No, it's okay, babe. I got Monday as long
night,
as you got.
they have changed media day, what you and I used to know as media day at the Super Bowl, which used to be on a Tuesday afternoon. Now they switched it to prime time and it's Monday night when the teams either flew in on Sunday or fly in on Monday, right? Mm-hmm. Your Patriots audience certainly is familiar with this because, you know, they watch media day on Monday and the Patriots arrive then everything else like that. Well, I was chosen. I was very grateful. I was chosen to be the kind of the figurehead yep. who welcomed as NFL Network, ESPN, and FS1 were all carrying Media Day or opening night, as they call it now, live on all three networks, right? And I was chosen as the guy who got to welcome everyone to the moment where they brought the team captains out yep. onto the stage. If you remember, this was yes. the first time we ever did it, was this year. So I got to, you know, introduce, ladies and gentlemen, right, representing the NFC champion Atlanta Falcons, please welcome captains Matt Ryan, da 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 da. And please welcome the AFC champion New England Patriots, represented by captains, da 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 da. And I introduced, of course, Tom Brady. Well, you know, they stood there, had a photo op and smiled, and Matt Ryan and Tom Brady did the joint interview with, I think, Sal Palantonio from ESPN did yep. that interview. So that moment ended. It was like a 10-minute moment on stage, and the stage went dark, and the podiums went active again in the interviews. Brady is walking off the stage, and he stops and taps me right in the chest and goes, and I've known Tom for, I don't know, 12 years, but I'm one of the media members. Right. Like, he might recognize me, know me. I've played in his celebrity flag football game, benefiting Best Buddies, yep. one of his favorite charities. I've played in that before, but we're not like chums or anything. He taps me on the chest. He goes, "Hey, Scott, you do an awesome job on Red Zone." And I like, now literally, this is the greatest quarterback of all time, one of the greatest football players of all time. Now, I don't get starry-eyed over these guys, but that was a heck of a compliment. And I remember thinking, well, when is he watching? Because obviously he's playing. I'm like, oh yeah, the first four games of the year.
He had some time off.
So his children are now getting old enough to play fantasy football. And I've learned from some of my Patriots contacts that he just bonds with them over that. During the four game suspension, he watched Red Zone every Sunday. I think he'll mention it on his weekly radio show in mm-hmm. Boston there yep. that on a day off, if and when they get a Sunday off, whether they're on the bye or like his first four games last year or, they're playing on Monday Night Football. He has time on Sunday that he loves to watch NFL Red Zone. And that kind of caught me off guard. I was like, wow.
How about non-football?
Non-football.
Have you met a president? I could see W coming up. Yeah, I like
it. No, I was told we were on in the White House during both the George W. administration and the Barack Obama administration. Now, Trump's a big football fan. It wouldn't surprise me if this year
it's going to be a sweep, baby.
He's watching.
It's going to be a sweep for you. You're going to have them all.
Maybe. That'd be neat. That's pretty flattering. And then I had When you talk about like demographics, right, you would think, hey, it's this is made for anyone from teenage sports fans to like, you know, mid 30s, because some people call it, oh, the, you know, the NFL for the ADD generation. Yes. I disagree with that because there are very few people that really want to just watch an entire game that doesn't involve their favorite team to analyze, oh, how good are the pulling guards doing in this game? You know, tell me about the you know, the TE stunts that the defensive line are doing. You know, is anyone really watching and analyzing it that much if it's not your favorite team?
Right.
If the Patriots are your favorite team, watch every snap of that game. I would encourage you to. But if you're not watching that, why wouldn't you watch NFL Red Zone? Because you're going to see everything that really, really matters that's going to win or lose a football
Look,
game, and that's what it's all about.
I remember
so you
having,
would think it's
yeah,
–
I used to have to walk across the living room before remote controls and change the channel to Channel 6 if I wanted to watch Giants Redskins because they were coming out of Rhode Island and they were on there. And if I wanted to watch the Patriots, I'd have to go to the NBC affiliate, which I think is
stand up and walk across the room to click the knob.
It's
the crustaceous period, my friend.
I know.
Yeah. So anyway, so you would think that that's the demographic, you know, like, you know, the younger generation. And we have that's probably the majority of the people that watch. But I had like an 80-year-old guy come up to me. It was one of our first two or three seasons, and they had me do a public appearance, an autograph signing at the Super Bowl. It was at the Super Bowl down in I want to say it was prior to the Colts Bears down in Miami.
Yeah.
Because I know we were on the beach and we were doing like an autograph signing, and I wasn't the headliner at all. They had like a lot of active NFL players, but they said, you know what, people love them in Red Zone. Why don't you do a thing? So I'm doing this. So I'm signing these autographs, and this 80-year-old guy comes up. And he's like, Scott, I never miss. And this guy was, you know, this guy was every bit of 80. I mean, he was an older dude. And so he was an old school football fan. And he said, I never miss. As he's, you know, saying these kind words and I'm signing his picture and everything, this woman pushes her way up to the front of the line. And she looks about 80 as well. And she looks, grabs him looks at me, looks down at my photo, the, you know, whatever, the 8x10 glossy that I'm signing,
yeah,
looks back up and looks at her husband and goes, oh, is that him? Like that, like angry. And I look and I'm like, she's like mad. And she's like, and the guy starts chuckling. And this is an 80-year-old couple, right? Yeah. And he goes, she's just mad at me. She's a Red Zone widow. She's mad at me for watching every moment, not paying her any attention on Sundays. I said, I think his name was George. I said, George, you married very well if she allows you to watch all 7 hours of our show. And I said, the next time she tells you to walk the dog or take the trash out or go to Bed Bath & Beyond on a Sunday, you grab your bride in your arms, you hold her by her cheeks, you look her longingly in the eyes, and you said, honey, I absolutely will during the next commercial break. And he kind of got a laugh out of that. But that hit me that, wow, if we have in television, if you can run the spectrum of the youngest possible fan to the oldest possible fan, you've really touched a nerve with the audience. And people say that we have.
I'm
grateful for it. Grateful for it.
What's a perfect day for you in the off season?
Good question. Well, I like to keep my energy up. So cardiovascular wise, I'm in my 40s now. So that requires, you know, a little extra effort, as we all know, the older you get, twice as much work for half the results. I love to get into the gym, put on the headphones, kind of lock in and, you know, hit the elliptical for an hour or lift weights or something like that. That's a good time. I like to read. I'm always on sports websites, on football websites. Obviously NFL.com is my first stop, but I hit multiple websites on multiple places to try and glean as much NFL information, even in the middle of June when the players are on vacation. And then, you know, spend time with friends, do stuff. I'm married, no kids, so I can really be focused in on whatever whatever my personal life entails at that time. I like to do charity work as well. That's a big aspect of my life, and I'm thankful that my broadcasting success has provided me the life that I can take a mission trip, go to another country, and help out those that are less fortunate in the off season. In the off season, when the players are on vacation, I pick a new country every year and head on head on down or over or up, wherever the country may be.
How does somebody go about beginning to do that? I mean, I'm getting to that point. My kids are all actually...
Isn't that right? Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
My kids are all going to be in college this year. First time. I'll have three kids in college. So we're getting to the point where, you know, I might be able to, in the next few years...
Man, it's,
you know,
it's rewarding.
Summers are consumed by baseball and vacations.
Yeah.
You know, that day
when, see, it's different for a parent, but it, like if you said, if you do get that... you know, surplus of time. And if you've done enough of the, look at everyone needs to unplug, and I'm all for if someone says, hey, I want to lay on a beach for a week or 10 days or whatever.
I'd love to go dig a ditch and not have my phone with me in Haiti.
You know what? And I'm telling you, it brings life back to the basics, man. It brings life back to the fundamentals of who are we as people. I've gone on a mission trip, and if somebody finds out that I'm a television broadcaster and you know, have kind of a high visibility in the United States, it's incidental. It's you're just going as Scott the man, trying to help out some people who might have a tougher way, and it's awesome. It's awesome, dude. I end up starting. Sometimes I'll do it through my church. Other times I do it through a Google search. I'll pick a country. Mm-hmm. This year it was Peru. I went down to South America into Peru and just Googled like short-term mission trips, saw like various ones that were there. My Spanish is very rough, so I needed someone who would be bilingual that could help me out with some English if I needed it. But I went down to a little town called Ayacucho, Peru, and we did medical missions, visited some elderly shut-ins who don't get any medical care, and brought them some medical supplies, checked in on their health, helped out with the Quechua Indians, who are the descendants of the Incas, mm-hmm. a lot of whom unfortunately live in poverty, and just provided some basic needs. And if nothing else, said, hey, you know what? There's some people from elsewhere in the world that love you and care about you and want to spend a little time with you. And hopefully that gives America a good name, as obviously people can look at me and say, hey, there's a white American, you know, in the middle of this mm-hmm. village of the descendants of the Incas and whatnot. And hopefully that shows some common humanity among us all, something that I think in today's climate is sorely needed.
Hey, we could talk a ton more and talk about the Patriots and Brady and your dark horse teams and your fantasy picks, but I've kept you on for a while and it's just been a terrific conversation. If there's any shot that we could have you back later in the year for a shorter one to get a little more football, could we?
Let's do it, Tommy. Yeah, it's a pleasure, man. You and I go back, more than a decade,
at
probably
least.
10, 15 years. I mean, through the whole Patriots run here, we've known each other. And thanks for having me on, man. Thanks for having me on. Just have a great season. This Saturday,
yes.
Free preview of NFL Red Zone. Saturday, I think we're starting at 7 o'clock Eastern. There's going to be like 6-7 games preseason, third week of the preseason. Starters play the deepest into the games that we'll see. Really good dress rehearsal. So join us for NFL Red Zone on Saturday. And then the season kickoff for NFL Red Zone, season number 9, is September 10th. Sunday, September 10th, week 1. We'll see you at 1 o'clock Eastern for 7 hours of commercial-free football.
there he is, everybody's favorite Sunday house guest, Scott Hansen from the Red Zone Channel. Thank you so much, my friend.
You got it.
All right, Matt. So I got this press release in front of me. It says you want to send you and a friend to the Patriots season opener, Light Foundation. How do I do this? How do I make this happen?
Listen, supposedly, and I'm standing at Gillette Stadium right now talking to you, and I know that there's a buzz leading up to this September 7th kickoff game, and it's going to be wild. It's going to be crazy. If you've done it 4 times before, by the time you hit the 5th championship banner being dropped in your stadium, it's going to be absolutely out of control. I'm expecting a unicorn or Pegasus or something, right? And we decided that to raise money for the Light Foundation and to do it in a cool way, we want to send somebody to this game on September 7th. I'll be there with them. They're going to have the Energize Suite, which is going to be incredible to be there for this game. And you're going to have dinner at Davio's in the hotel stay. So it's a great package, and it's all at kickoffgameraffle.com. So that's the easiest way to jump in, get your tickets, get your opportunity. It's $10. And if you spend enough, you'll get a signed, you know, Rob Ninkovich, who former Purdue Boilermaker and a great guy, just retired. He's going to be signing some stuff for people to spend a certain amount. So, you know, great ways to get involved. It'll all go to benefit the Light Foundation and Boston Children's Hospital, which is such a huge resource locally.
You know, I don't think – well, I mean, I think people that followed your career and some of the stuff on and off the field, they understand your personality a little bit. But I don't think they realize that you, being with you for the game, is probably maybe going to be better than the game itself.
Hey, listen, I made the transition from player to fan in kind of a weird fashion. I mean, this is my sixth year being out of the league, and – you know, I wasn't a guy that grew up watching football. So, you know, being able to, you know, stay here in Foxborough with my family and my kids go to Foxborough Public Schools and being a part of the community, I never realized how nutty game day was and what this experience was really like. But now I think I do have it perfected.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. I think it would be nice to have a recording of some of the things that went on behind the scenes there, because I think it's going to be a lot of fun for the winner and their friend. You mentioned the Children's Hospital, and obviously, for those who don't know, you have some close personal ties with the Children's Hospital and why you're so passionate about it.
Yeah, like a lot of people in New England and across the world, because I've heard so many stories of being involved with Children's Hospital. They saved my son's life, right? I mean, it's not like a, well, they did a little here and there. They literally took a brand new newborn, and through their doctors and their staff and their people and their expertise, they saved his life. And, you know, I love working with Children's Hospital. We were going to the Boston Children's Hospital before we had our son, who was born with a heart defect. So big believer in what they do. Big believer, of course, in the Light Foundation and our efforts of working with young people and trying to get them onto a path, you know, that puts success in their lives, because there's so much that goes on in this world and so much negativity, but there's also a lot of people that want to do right and they just need resources. So whether it's the Life Foundation or Boston Children's Hospital, being able to utilize a platform like a raffle where we give somebody an unbelievable experience and in return we get to raise a ton of money, it's a total win-win.
Yeah, again, that's lighthouseraffle.org. $10 per ticket or in bulk at a discounted rate. Rob Ninkovich, as you mentioned, the signed authentic jerseys and helmets and all that, and or the grand prize, being able to go to the game with a friend, the season opener, September the 7th. The Light Foundation, you talked about the difficulties maybe for kids these days. What sort of led you down that path to make this the primary goal of your foundation, Matt?
Well, you know, look, we work with kids from all over the country through the Light Foundation. We have a facility in Ohio where this year we're going to have close to 7,500 kids come through that 600-acre outdoor facility. And, you know, the work that we do, the programs that we've created, the partnership programs, they're all designed to do one thing, and that is spend time with young people. Now, some of it's very impactful in terms of, you know, hey, we're tackling some real problems and we have young people that we work with that are overcoming great odds. But there's also the idea that we just, you know, we just want to be there for some kids that just need somebody to talk to. And I'll tell you what, the work that our staff does and what we've been able to create over the last 15 to 16 years has really put us in a position to continue to do what we do, but on a much grander schedule. So, or in a much bigger way. I tell you, I'm proud of it. I love the work. We just got back from Ohio, where I spent the whole summer with my family running camps and inviting kids from all over the country. We had kids from Gloucester. We had kids, you know, from the Providence or the New Bedford area. So it's amazing to see the impact that we've been able to make over the years, and it's only going to continue to get better.
Yeah, it really is. You talk to so many ex-players, and you know, they try to figure out ways to stay involved and to use, I guess, their celebrity, if you will, beyond their playing years. And what you've done here has been pretty amazing, and you and your family have to be very proud of how it's all turned out over the last 10, 12 years.
Yeah. And, you know, look, this raffle, again, you can go to lighthouseraffle.org, or you can go to Kickoff Game Raffle, which is easy to remember, kickoffgameraffle.com. But these raffles are a huge part of our growth over the last 5 or 6 years. I mean, we did one for the Super Bowl, the young lady who won and brought her friend. I mean, she obviously had the time of her life. And we've done so many of these in the past, and we've raised, you know, I want to say a little over $1 million in total just through these raffles. So while it's fun to promote and it's fun to do, the real impact that it has long term is incredible.
Yeah, and I think people understand that. Matt Light, some great stuff here. And before I let you go, I think you're aware that the quarterback, he just turned 40 a couple weeks ago. How long do you think he is going to continue to play and play at this level?
Listen, I mean, I keep hearing people say that he has 5 more years left in the tank. I mean, I'd give him another 10 years if he really wanted to do it. I don't see him stopping. I mean, he's having too much fun. He loves what he does, and his family's behind him. So, you know, look, if you're blessed to have, you know, those things in your favor, you'll keep doing whatever it is you're doing.
I think it's crazy, man. He's got all the money. He's got that beautiful wife and kids. I think it's, you know, look, you keep doing what your passion is, but eventually, don't you want to put your feet up?
Well, hey, listen, maybe I get, I don't know. I mean, here's what I say about it, right? He really, really enjoys it. While he has everything, what he knows he can't get is the type of competition that he sees on Sunday every week throughout the NFL season. He knows he can't find that in retirement, so he might as well just keep doing what he's doing.
All right, as Matt Light, thank you for joining us. LighthouseRaffle.org. Get involved, $10 a ticket, bulk at a discount rate. Matthew, thank you for your time.
Well, listen, I appreciate it, fellas. Good talking to you.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Quick Slants, the podcast. If you missed Monday's episode, Tom sat down with Phil to talk about the preseason so far, where the roster stands. He talked with Gerard Mayo, some great stuff on some NFL draft strategy stuff that the Patriots have that other teams don't necessarily follow. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, any other podcasting apps. Leave us a rating, leave us a review, help the show. Also, tell your friends to subscribe. Get it every week. We will hit you up next week for Quick Slants, the podcast with Gerard. We'll try to track down some interviews as the Patriots wind down the preseason here. Make sure to tune into CSN Friday night after the Patriots-Lions third preseason game, as we will talk about that for post-game live. And we will see you next week on Quick Slants, the podcast.